God's word from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and from chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. And if there's a pew Bible nearby, there should be one of the brown ones, then please do take it up and follow the reading with us, and maybe mark the page or leave it open, for we'll be looking at this passage in a little more detail later. Ephesians chapter 6. Fairly near the end of the Bible. If you flick back from the end through some of the smaller letters in the New Testament, you'll come to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Amen. And may God bless that to us and help us to understand His word. Now, so we come to the final section of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. A well-known passage which speaks about the armor that God supplies to us to live the Christian life in. But I want us for a moment or two this morning to consider, before we look at the armor, which God willing we'll do next week, the context, if you like, in which we wear this armour. If you've been the Sundays so far and seeing the kind of Christian life that we are called to live, if you're going to be the kind of wife or husband, for instance, that Paul writes about in chapter 5, or the kind of child or the kind of parent that Paul writes about in the first verses of chapter 6, if you're going to be the kind of employee and employer that is mentioned by Paul from verse 5 through to verse 9, if we're going to have the kind of congregation here at Logan St. John's Cross, which lives in the way described in chapter 4, not just from verses 1 through to 16, but in particular from verse 17 onwards, if we're going to have the kind of lives which live out an imitation of God, showing to the world what He is like, then we're going to have a battle. We're going to be involved in a struggle. It's not going to be easy. As we've read through these verses, and as we've spent time studying them, then, like me, perhaps you have gone away sometimes on a Sunday feeling, if I'm going to live like that, then life's not going to be a bed of roses. We are in a warfare as Christians. Paul, in these closing verses of his letter to the Ephesians, is not using just picture language to describe the Christian life. He does that in other parts of his letters. He talks about the Christian life being as part of a body. He talks about growth, like a plant growing or a building growing from the foundations up. But here he's not speaking in picture language. He's simply speaking the truth. He's telling it, as it were, as it is, that the Christian life is a life of spiritual warfare. The Christian life is not one of self-indulgence and ease. The Christian life is not just a bed of roses where everything's a doddle and you can do what you like. The Christian life is lived in the thick of battle. Why? Why is it that after having written like this, Paul turns to warfare at the end of his letter? It's because God has an enemy, you see. There is somebody who doesn't like God being glorified. There is a devil who hates God, and who will do everything that he can to stop God being glorified, to stop God receiving that honor and praise and adoration that he is worth. But you see, God has chosen to glorify himself. God has chosen to show just what a wonderful and astonishing God he is through you and me. His church is the principal means by which God will be glorified. So you see, if the devil, God's enemy, is going to diminish the worship and the praise given to God, if he's going to diminish the extent of God's kingship and rule and order, then he's going to focus his attacks upon the church. So you see, being a Christian, in a sense, means becoming a target. And the devil is a schemer, and he works according to plans. And what he does one day is connected to what he did the day before and what he will try tomorrow. And so if you and I are going to glorify God by living the kind of life which reflects the character of God, then we need to be aware of this enemy. And we need to be aware of his schemes and of his tactics. We need to be not caught off balance, but we need to be able to stand firm. And so Paul writes to these Ephesian Christians, and the Word of God proclaims to you and to me today what it means to be involved in this warfare. You would see that Paul writes to them about this warfare quite naturally. It's almost as if it's the next obvious thing to say, which in many senses it is. And we need to take that to heart. There is a way of talking about the Christian life and becoming a Christian which presents it as one long holiday. Come to Christ and have a party. Come to Christ and all your troubles will be solved. Come to Christ and all your problems will be over. Come to Christ and you'll have a wonderful, wonderful life. Come to Christ and your income will go up. And your car will improve over the years because you'll keep buying a bigger one and a better one. Come to Christ and your children will be absolutely lovely, perfectly behaved on every occasion. Come to Christ and your spouse will be astonishing, wonderful, just exactly what you married them for. Come to Christ and you'll find yourself living as a wonderful person. But you see, that's not the biblical view of what it means to be a Christian. The biblical view is come to Christ and stand with him in the warfare. Come to Christ. And you won't find everything turning out beautifully for you. Come to Christ and you may find that your problems increase because your conscience is more active and it is more tender and you have a guide who is showing you the way you should go. Come to Christ and life will not just be a doddle. Now you see, people who think that the Christian life is meant to be a doddle and a party become Christians, they start coming to church and their faith that they maybe had when they were younger is rekindled and it all starts to mean so much more to them, and they're praying and they're reading their Bible through the week and meeting with other Christians and they're growing in their faith tremendously, and then circumstances start to get difficult and temptations seem to be overpowering. And the initial joy and spark seems to disappear. And such people think that it's all gone wrong. And maybe there was nothing really in this Christian life. And maybe it's all just being part of a group of people and nothing to do with God. You see, it hasn't gone wrong. Be expected. It is part of the normal Christian life that Paul writes about to these normal, ordinary Christians in Ephesus. To have to be strong in the Lord because there is a scheming devil who will throw us off our balance and bring us to the ground. And when we realize that we have been flawed by some particular sin that we have not resisted, will kick us when we are down and humiliate us. So, he writes about the warfare. Now, there are particular contexts for this warfare, as we'll have seen as we've been going through Ephesians, not least those human relationships that we've been looking at over the past 3 Sundays as we've been in these passages. But the particular context that Paul is writing about, the particular area of warfare that he has in mind, is, if you like, temptation. It's what he calls the day of evil. You would see that phrase that he uses. When the day of evil comes, verse 13, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Now, what does he mean by the day of evil? He isn't just meaning a day when circumstances are bad. He isn't talking about those kind of days when we get out of bed on the wrong side and people speak to us wrongly and our work goes wrong or our children drive us around the bend. He isn't speaking about the kind of day when things just aren't going right. He is speaking in particular about the day of evil that comes from the devil's schemes, that comes from an onslaught from the tempter. He is speaking about the day when, for one reason or another, everything seems pitted against you or me praying, reading the scriptures, bearing some kind of witness to Christ, being patient when we should be patient, kind when we should be kind, and all those other things that have to do with living the Christian life. It was very helpfully pointed out to me once that there are 3 elements to this day of evil, and there's perhaps a 4th that we can add, and I want us to think about them for a moment. What is it that conspires on the day of evil? What are the forces, what are the things that the devil, as it were, all piles together to hurl at us on the day of evil? What are the schemes that come to fruition on this day of evil? What is it that the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, what is it that they conspire to do that makes the day of evil the day of evil? Well, in the first place, and perhaps here we can understand something about our own temptation, sometimes why we sin and why we fall. In the first place, there is an inclination. There is something within you and me that wants to do something that is wrong, or particularly does not want to do something that is right to do. There is an inclination. There is something that you find you are more frequently and easily tempted over than other things. There is some particular desire. There is some particular predilection. There is some particular taste. There is something within each of us that the devil knows fine well would veer us off course. There is an inclination within us. And then circumstances just seem all geared to create the opportunity, second thing, the opportunity for that inclination to be leaned into. It may be that somebody who is our conscience isn't around. It may be that we're somewhere where nobody knows us. It may be that nobody's watching us, and so we think it doesn't matter. It may be that this thing is something that goes on in our heads and nobody will ever know about it, and we think we're okay. It may just be a time of sheer idleness. There is the opportunity. And so along comes the devil, and he reminds us of that inclination, and he reminds us that we have the opportunity, and with all the ferocity and all the fire of hell, he inflames that desire. As it were, fanning the flames, comes along with those devilish bellows and blows the whole thing up, so that we can think of nothing else. So that physically we are almost constrained to do what we don't want to do, or not to do what the thing that we know we should do. The inclination, the opportunity, and the desire is inflamed. But there is a 4th thing. And the 4th thing is that our resistance is weakened. 7 days without prayer make 1 week, as the saying goes. Maybe we haven't just been living as close to God as we should have been. Maybe we haven't been feeding on His Word, and so we are weakened. Maybe there have been other things that we have given into, and they have weakened us in this particular regard. For one reason or another, we have been staying away from the fellowship of God's people, and we've been trying to go it alone, and it doesn't work. It may be that we're just not looking after ourselves, and we're not getting the sleep that we need. We're not eating properly. So we're just not strong enough to live the Christian life as we should. We're an easy target. We're a soft target. The inclination is there. And God knows fine well that we may live all our lives with that particular inclination. The opportunity exists. The desire is inflamed. And the resistance has been weakened. Maybe over days, maybe over weeks, maybe over years. And on the day of evil, we fall. Now it's that situation that Paul is writing to these Ephesian Christians about when he tells them to stand their ground. And there is no hint in what Paul writes that there will only ever be one day in our lives like that. We have a scheming devil. You remember how the devil tempted Jesus early on in his ministry? And after he had tempted him, he left him in the wilderness there. Was that it? Was that temptation over and done with? Was that the devil's attack on our Lord Jesus finished? Not at all. He came back, you see. He went away and he regrouped and he came back. There'll be more than one day of evil for any Christian who's living a lively Christian life. So what are we called to do? We're called to do two things. Two things. We are called, first of all, to be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power. You see, the God who is for us, not against us, but for us. The God who is closer to us than our breath. The God who understands us perfectly and knows our weaknesses and doesn't hold them against us. The God who knows our inclinations. The God who knows our circumstances and knows what the opportunities are. The God who knows how fiercely the devil can tempt. The God who knows how we often debilitate ourselves in the Christian life. This God doesn't stand back and say, "Ha! Look at the mess you've got yourself into now. See if you can get yourself out of it." This God stands with us. This God says, "Be strong in me. Lean on my strength. I've already beaten this enemy. I've already defeated this enemy. I'm far bigger and far stronger than he will ever be. Lean on me. Trust in me. Come to me for strength. You're being tempted? Pray. Ask God for His strength. Ask God to help you say no. He is there to be turned to." God is sometimes called in the scriptures Almighty or the Lord Sabaoth. And that term for God in the scriptures, the Lord Sabaoth, is, if you like, a warrior term. It's a picture of God with all the hosts that He commands going out to do battle for His people. Time and time again we find in the Old Testament that where Israel was called to do battle, they realized that the battle was not theirs but the Lord's, and the Lord's was the victory. Now we can take that and apply it in the Christian life. The battle is not ours but God's. The enemy, in a sense, isn't really interested in you or me. We're just a means to an end, you see. There is a sense in which he couldn't care less about us. The real target is God. And God is well able to deal with this enemy. Be strong in His mighty power. End of the day, no other power will do. If you want to live the kind of life that's been outlined and inspired in Ephesians, then no other strength will do for you. You won't be able to live that kind of life by your own resources. None of us can. Only His strength will do. And at the end of the day, only His strength is so available. You see, there are times when we are tempted, when that day of evil comes and nobody else is there. We can't talk about it to anybody. Sometimes we wouldn't talk about it to anybody. But God is there. And He is available. Be strong in the Lord. Don't try and take the devil on yourself. Don't kid yourself that you can stand up to any kind of temptation. Don't try and tell yourself that you are living a wonderful Christian life on your own, and you have been doing for a long time, and so you'll be able to do it for a long time to come. Thank you very much. There is no strength that will do save God's. And the second thing we are called to do, as we find three times in the passage that we read, in 11 and in verse 13 twice, we are called to stand. And only to stand. It is a tremendous relief to me to know that at the end of the day, all that God expects us to be doing is still standing. We aren't called to go and save entire continents overnight. We aren't called to be super spiritual heroes who fill everybody else with awe at the dazzling brilliance of our Christian life. We aren't called to go and gain some new territory that God hasn't already gained. We aren't called to wield some kind of great, wonderful sword as we go battling heroically against forces unnumbered in the teeth of adversity to some great, wonderful, new victory. We are called simply to stand. That's what God expects of us. And no more. It is tremendously realistic of the Word of God, isn't it? Just be there at the end. No great jingoistic fantasy land stuff about being some kind of spiritual knight in shining armor. Just be left standing. If you can get through a day, if you can get through a day of evil, and still at the end of that day have resisted the temptation, still be left standing your ground, then that's enough. That's all God wants. And all heaven will rejoice with you. And there'll be trumpets blowing and fanfares, and there'll be cheering and shouting to the God who has enabled you to stand. Christians who stand their ground and who do so successively as the months and the years go by, those Christians not just stand their ground but stand out. The Christian life is all about standing on a territory that God has given us and remaining there, not in our own strength, but in His. May God grant you and me the strength, His strength, to stand today, to stand tomorrow, to stand when we are at work, to stand when we are among our families, to stand when all the circumstances seem pitted against us, but to stand most of all when temptations come with awesome ferocity. At the end of that day, still to be praising God and honoring Him. Amen.